Let us pray. May I speak in the name of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And John noted that Lamb in question. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. There are things to note in that very short sentence. The purpose of the Lamb coming and sin is being pointed here. And it would be nice if we revisit what sin is all about. I will be making more of biblical references today. I hope you will cope with me. It's unusual, but I will be doing it for some good reasons. The best way to understand the meaning of sin is the way 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 puts it. It says clearly, well, 1 John is a book in the Bible, in the New Testament. It says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. And he made it clear, in fact, sin is lawlessness. There are things equally, Paul writing to Christians or the church in Galatia pointed that reminds us what sin is all about. It says sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discard, jealousy, fit of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, and urges. And he added something. The likes and those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, sin is attached with judgment. It's not just sin, but there is something that goes with it. Having mentioned sin, it would be nice actually for us to embrace or get a clear understanding where this sin initiated that affected entire humanity in the past. The story of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 is a good story that tells us about how sin came into the world. And since then, we all has been captivated by that single act committed by the first man and woman God created. Romans chapter 3 verse 28 made it clear, embracing that point, that all have sinned. No one is void of that sin, and we have come short of the glory of God. Sin is so dirty that Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 says that God is so holy that he cannot behold sin. God cannot stand sin. Man tried various ways to get rid of this word called sin. Aaron, according to what we read in the book of Leviticus chapter 16, where we just took our first Old Testament reading, verse 20 to 22. People carved out for God, the people of Israel, people meant to establish, extend the kingdom of God here on earth. When man failed, God chose them. God trying to find a way to reconcile back to man, told Aaron through Moses, gather your people. There are few sacrifices, atonement that he was meant to make to see if there could be an opening for that good relationship that existed, that real purpose God had in creating man. He said, okay, one of the atonement was for Aaron, the high priest. We read it in that very text in the Old Testament reading. There is what is called scapegoat. If we have started from verse 10 of that text, we'll find out where it was mentioned. The goat in question was called scapegoat. Aaron was to bring this goat, lay his two hands on the head, confesses the sin of the people of Israel. I love the way Bible puts it. He mentioned their wickedness, their rebellion, and he added their sin. The word is so heavy to project the meaning of sin. And when he will lay hand on that very, the ritual of making those confessions, the idea was that the sins of the people of Israel is now being transferred on the head of that goat. And someone who is specialized according to their tradition or what their faith persuasion was, was to take that very goat to a desolate place, to a wilderness where people don't go. The indication here is that man is not meant actually to be anywhere close to sin. But that was a regular activity. But that goes on every year. But that was unable to get rid of sin completely. Then God saw the need again to find a way to see if this word called sin could be taken care of once and for all. In that reading, John said, behold, look at him, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Now we are coming to the purpose of the Lamb coming. Jesus coming into the world is to deal with sin, to deal with that whom man was unable to do. To deal with that, the blood of animal was unable to deal with. He decided to come. How did he do that? He gave his life. He went to the cross. And there, the sin of humanity was nailed. I love the way Bible puts it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, for Christ died for the sin once and for all. The sacrifice he made was once and for all, and sin was completely dealt with. There was no need again, over and over, going to the temple to make sacrifices. Jesus dealt with it once and for all. And that he did by dying at the cross of Calvary for us. He didn't end at dying. When he died, he equally fought death. And defeated death as well. And rose again. And that was why he accomplished his purpose here on earth. Why he came. Why John pointed, behold the Lamb of God. He is coming to take away the sin of the world through his death. And by dying and rising again, he defeated death. And that penalty that awaits us because of sin was taken care of. We are rid of eternal death, as many as believe in him. And Bible puts it clear again in Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is therefore no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Of course, all of us are in Christ Jesus, I assume. We are no longer condemned. We are redeemed people, not with the blood of the goat, not by laying hands on the goat again and sending the goat away and doing it over and over again. Once and for all, the blood of Jesus has cleansed us. There is therefore no more judgment that awaits us as long as we believe, as long as we embrace that love, that grace that was found, that is still visible in the sacrifice Jesus did at the cross of Calvary for us. But we need to believe. It's not just confessing it. It didn't end there. It's trying to live it out every day of our life. Of course, we've been redeemed based on what Christ has done for us, and we confess it and we embrace it. But being human, we still struggle with some of these things mentioned in the book of Galatians. Being human, God understands that these things face us every day. And the question is, how do we get over this, some of these our weaknesses? I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 11. The word of God has he hidden in his heart, that he will not sin against God. If we are Bible-believing Christians, if we meditate upon the word of God every day. I was having a chat with somebody just this morning. I gathered from our talk that what we live with, what surrounds us, what we hear, goes a long way to impact in our lives. So the word of God we meditate upon every day is God himself. The word of God is power that will help us to grow above the limitations and shortcomings that challenges us every day. As we study the word, we allow the word to make impact in our lives, it will go a long way to nurture us, at least to live above those challenges in our lives. Another thing is the presence of God. We are talking of how do we completely get through these challenges that faces us every day, and with regards to living a godly life, that we continue to maintain that good relationship God meant for us, and the reason why he brought his son to come to die on our behalf. Prayer is another thing. Because through prayer, you develop an intimacy with God. And in course of praying, the presence of God continues to grow in your life. And prayer invites the presence of Holy Spirit in your life. And when the Holy Spirit, of course we know that our body is his temple, continue to occupy us, there will be that power, that grace will be sufficient to mortify the fleshly desires in our lives. Well, there might be some Christians who have lived above sin. There might be some Christians who feel they are very perfect. But I don't think I fall among those class of Christians. I still struggle with some flaws in my life. And if you have lived above sin and you are too perfect, you still have a responsibility from the text we have read. Christ died for a purpose. And that purpose is for all to come to salvation. For everyone, he didn't die only for the people of Israel. He died, he came, the Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the whole world. So you should be part of that wagon. You should be part of those called, like John announces the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world. To begin to reach out for others. That you are enjoying in what Christ has done for you at the cross, which is the benefit of the salvation you have gained, to make sure that you extend it to your neighbor, extend it to your family, and anyone that happens to come close to you. So that is a responsibility. By so doing, I believe that Jesus will be happy with you because you are helping him, going on, making his death on the cross of Calvary not to be in vain. Making that purpose why he came to die, to still live out in our world today. Or probably you, equally, hearing this very word today, something must have spoken to you. You feel, well, like Ernest, who has been a Christian for many years, who probably was trained in the junior seminaries, who probably was brought up in a Christian home, not until when he was 25, who goes to church, who went to a school, the principal was a vicar, was a reverend gentleman, the vice was a reverend gentleman, but he never knew the Lamb. He never identified himself with the Lamb. He heard the gospel, but it didn't make so sense to him. But the Lord might be speaking to you that same way he spoke to me 25 years ago, to re-identify the Lamb of God. This is a good opportunity to allow this word sink into your life and begin to ask yourself, do I want to identify myself with this Lamb? Do I want to accept this very single act of sacrifice of himself at the cross of Calvary for me? Do I want my sins to be taken away by this Lamb? I will invite you to allow the Spirit of God to minister to you. Wherever you are before we pray, just in silence, ask Jesus Christ that you want him to be that Lamb that has taken away the sin of the world, to take your sin away. And you want to start a new journey with him today. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is in our midst this morning, and he is here to take your sin away. He is there to empower you by his Spirit to get through those things you struggle with, that tends to limit you to experience the full presence of God in your life. So let us pray. Lord, I thank you because your word is powerful. And your word is yourself, because what you ever said in your word, you will definitely do that. It is your will that all will come to the knowledge of whom you are and the saving grace of Christ. I just pray for that life in this place, O God, who still want to identify with you, but there are things beyond him or her that tends to be a barricade, that he will not actually make sense of this Lamb you wear that has taken the sin of the world, that equally that has taken his sin away. Lord, I just pray, oh God, you minister to that heart. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will impact that power that accompanies those that believe. That in this journey, oh Lord, that as he or she continue to explore things deeper about you, you will continue to make yourself known to him or her. Lord, empower us as well as we make yourself known and your name known in this very village. Bless our work in this very church. Cause our relationship with you to continue to grow. And Holy Spirit, continue to increase in us so that we will continue to live a life pleasing to you. That your death, Jesus, on the cross of Calvary will not be in vain. We appreciate you as the Lamb, the quiet Lamb that has taken our sins away. Amen.